following message was given by Brother Timothy Hung in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, July 31st, 2016. The title of the message is Going Outside the Idolatrous Camp and Entering Within the Veil. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 9, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 and 13, and Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20.
So effective to cleanse us. It has accomplished an eternal redemption for all of us. Lord, thank you we can gather into your name. Oh, enjoy your speaking. Enjoy your word. We live by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Thank you they are spirit and they are life. Thank you we can receive your word and eat you and drink you, that we all may live because of you. Lord, we consecrate this time to you for your purpose. Under your precious blood, anoint us, that we may be one with you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Since this morning we are reviewing what we covered last week. Last week we covered Exodus training, the fourth training, message one, concerning going outside the adulterous camp and entering within the veil. So last week we have a message one, and this message has two parts. The first part is going outside the adulterous camp, and the second part is concerning entering within the veil. We have some verses in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. We read them, and that portion of the word from chapter 7 through 9, it was concerning the Lord told Moses to go down from the mountain. Of course, Moses was with Jehovah on the mountain. So Jehovah told him to go down. So something happened. In chapter 3, it mentioned 33, it mentioned that Moses, when he went down, eventually he took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. You know, this is the phrase that we mentioned concerning going outside the camp. And to explain, there was the word adulterous camp. And Moses pitched outside the camp and some distance from the camp. And he called it the tent of the meeting. And everyone who sought Jehovah went out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. So something happened. Moses, of course, his tent was originally inside the camp. But now he pitched his tent outside the camp with the distance. And he called that tent the tent of meeting. And everyone who seek Jehovah, everyone who sought Jehovah went out to the tent of the meeting, which was outside the camp. So this verse shows us that originally the children of Israel, they were camping, they were following the Lord. But something happened that Moses took his tent outside and he pitched there. Now all the seeking ones to seek Jehovah, they need to go outside the camp. And there in the tent, Moses called the tent of meeting, where Jehovah, we see later on, the pillar of, in verse 9, he mentioned that the pillar of cloud would descend and stay at the entrance of the tent, and Jehovah would speak with Moses. So the speaking of the Lord eventually was outside the camp, and where the tent of meeting, where Moses pitched, and the Lord met with Moses, and the Lord spoke to him. So here we see the phrase outside the camp. The reason for this is because something happened, like I mentioned, and maybe we can read the verses in Exodus 20, then some verses we can in chapter 32, then we can get the picture what happened. Chapter 20, let's read together. I am Jehovah your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the slave house. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, nor the form of anything that is in heaven above, or on the earth, or in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not serve them. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, yet showing loving kindness to thousands of generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold guiltless him who takes his name in vain. So here we see before chapter 33, already the Ten Commandments were given. And Moses told the children of Israel the Ten Commandments. Okay, we can read on, and then we will see. 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered against Aaron and said to him, come, make God for us, who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, tell of the gold rings which are in the ears of your wife, your son, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And he took the gold from their hand, fashioned with engraving tool, and made it into a molten calf. And they said, these are the gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast. And offered burnt offering and brought peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Okay, that's good. So we see when Moses was with Jehovah in the mountain, the children of Israel under the mountain, they said, you know, we don't know what happened to Moses. Then there was a situation between the children of Israel and Aaron. and they eventually, Aaron asked them for the earrings of the wives and the sons and daughters. And when they brought all this gold, eventually they made a golden calf. And they said, this is the God who brought you out of Egypt. And then the next day, they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So this is what they did while Moses was absent among them. Okay, now the following verses shows what's the result. That is in chapter 32. Let's go back to 32, 1 and 2. Okay, we read those verses. Okay. That's 7. Okay, let's read that. Now, Moses would take the... not 33. 32. Now, and Jehovah spoke to Moses, "Go get down, for your people whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf, and they have worshipped it and have sanctified to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, tablets that were written on both of their sides, and on this side and on the other were they written. And the tablets were the work of God, and the writings was the writing of God, engraved upon the tablets. And as soon as he drew near to the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. And he threw the tablets out of his hand and shattered them at the foot of the mountain." So this is quite a scene, you know. While the children of Israel under the mountain, and Moses was with Jehovah on the mountain, and all these people, they came out of Egypt by the Lord's leading. They have experienced the Passover. They have followed the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, and they have crossed the Red Sea, and they have been daily eating the heavenly manna. And now they say, "We don't know what happened to Moses. Let's make gods." And the Ten Commandments was given in chapter 20. Of course, it was not completed because the two tablets still not yet given to them. While Moses was on the mountain, eventually he got these two tablets. He came down and saw all this happening. Of course, he shattered the two tablets because the Ten Commandments, before it was given, is already broken. So all this is, let's read the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 7, and 11. "Neither become idolaters, as some of them did. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the ages have come." So this is for our admonition. And we may say, you know, this will never happen to us. But don't say so fast. Because the Bible, the words tells us, these written are for our admonition. If we spend a little time, we will realize this situation is not so simple. It's not so simple. That's why we had a training and we had one message on this point. Not so simple is because the people are God's people. The people are following the Lord and daily experiencing the miracle. And when they made this golden calf, it was made by God's high priest. This high priest was not a Gentile pagan priest. This one is God's high priest. And all these people, they want to worship God, even in the name of Jehovah, when the golden calf was made. And they sacrifice burnt offerings and peace offerings according to the instruction in the word. All what I mentioned was correct, but it was worshiping in front of a golden calf. So this is our warning, you know. So only the Lord Jesus, he is God's son, and he declared God. And in Colossians also mentioned that he is the image of the invisible God. So only Christ is the image of God, the image of the invisible God. So we want to lay hold on Christ, and we don't want to look for anything else. So this part, I will just mention that much. And my burden is really not the first part. My burden is the second part. Like we read the verses before, this matter of idol worship among God's people was in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, when we come to the book of Hebrews, again the matter of outside the camp is mentioned, you know, in Hebrews. Maybe we can go back to Hebrews, those verses concerning the concerning outside the camp. That is in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12 and 13. Let's read together. Therefore, also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Let us therefore go forth unto him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. So, mostly the book of Hebrews was written by Brother Apostle Paul. So Paul brought this matter again. So today, when we are reading it, Paul, of course, he was writing to the Hebrews Christians. So in the Old Testament, there was the camp of the children of Israel in Exodus. Now, in the New Testament, during the Lord's time, the camp was the Judaism, the Jewish religion. They rejected the Lord Jesus. So that group of Jews, they still worshiping in the temple, but they rejected the Lord Jesus. That made them the camp. So when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, there was a little modern camp, because the Jews, when the Lord Jesus was there, they had a religion. Now today with us, you know, the camp, what is the camp today? The camp is the church, changed in nature from being a tent to being a camp. A religious system, religious Babylon, comprising a group of religious people belonging to the Lord in name and honoring the Lord with their mouth, but having their hearts set on something other than the Lord. So this matter of the camp is not just something in theory, but rather it was in the Old Testament, it was in the beginning of the New Testament, it's still with us today. So we all need to be warned concerning this matter. Okay, but the book of Hebrews, it shows us a way. How can we go outside the camp? The book of Hebrews doesn't mention what I just mentioned, all those things. But rather, the book of Hebrews reminded the Hebrews Christians that what they should do is that the problem concerning the camp, it was mentioned in chapter 13. But the answer is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6. How to do. Let's read Hebrews 6, 19 through 20. Which we have as anchor of the soul, both secure and firm, and which enters within the veil, where the forerunner Jesus has entered for us, having become forever a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So here mentioned that the Lord Jesus as the forerunner, he has entered for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus, of course, he was crucified on the cross. When he was crucified, the veil, you know, the veil, that's why the phrase, entering within the veil. According to the structure of the tabernacle, we've been covering the tabernacle. There are two, the outside, from outer core, enter into the holy place is called a screen. Sometimes it's also called a veil. And from the holy place into the holy of holies, there's a veil. So this veil mentioned here is the second veil, or the veil for the entering into the holy of holies. And that veil was torn down from top to bottom when the Lord was crucified on the cross. So it shows the one who did it is not man. Because man, if you tore a veil, you have to tore from bottom. You cannot, you know, it's high. You cannot do it from top. So it shows that God did it. God did it through the Lord Jesus crucified on the cross. So he was crucified. And he entered within the veil. And that veil, of course, not the earthly veil. It's the heavenly, holy of holies he entered. So today, he wants us also to enter into the holy of holies. This is in Hebrews. We didn't put this verse on the screen. That is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. It mentioned, let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. So this verse, oh yes, we should have it, yeah. So this verse mentioned that we can come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is the only piece of furniture. The throne of grace is the cover of the ark. So in the Holy of Holies, there's only one piece of furniture. That is the ark. And with that ark is gold, made of gold. Made of gold, and is overlaid with gold inside and outside with acacia wood. And on that ark, there's a cover. That is the propitiation cover. You can also, it's throne, you can also say it's the throne of grace. So the in Hebrews, the writer encourages Hebrew Christians to enter in, to come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Okay, let's also read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus, which entrance he initiated for us as a new and living way through the veil, that is his flesh. So the veil, the Lord Jesus, his flesh was torn and the veil was opened. So today we can have boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus. God wants us all to enter into the Holy of Holies. Today, the Holy of Holies, of course, is not something physical on the earth. Today, the Holy of Holies is where God's dwelling place. And God's dwelling place is just in our spirit. So what we need to do today is be in our spirit. Amen. You know, I don't know whether you're conscious. During the Lord's table time, you know, we changed the tune. And the brother also wants the same. He played the piano, you know. Do it right. And I think all of us has a kind of inward feeling. We cannot just sing the song like, you know, any songs. We need to exercise our spirit. Amen. Our having the Lord's table is not just for our eating and drinking. It's for our worshiping the Lord. Amen. When we enjoy the Lord, touching the Lord, singing the hymns, from our being, inward being, from our heart, and from our spirit, that is a true worship. Only when we are in the Holy of Holies, we can be saved from any kind of mixed worship. So this is the burden of the Apostle Paul. You know, he wants us to enter into the Holy of Holies. In the ark, there are three things. There is the hidden manna, and there is the budding ra, and there is the tablets of the two tablets of the commandments, Ten Commandments. So those things, they all related to Christ. Hidden manna is just, in one simple sense, it's just the open manna enjoined by us became the hidden manna in us. A resurrection life is something go through that, but still come out life. And the two tablets are just the testimony of Jesus. The Lord Jesus has the testimony. And today, the church is the testimony of Jesus. So the way to go outside the camp, in fact, it's not at the end of the Hebrews. In order to go outside the camp, we need to be in chapter 4 and chapter 10. We need to enter in within the veil, where God is there. When we enter in within the veil, when we are in our spirit, God is in our spirit. And we can touch Him. He is the real one. He is the real one. That's why the only begotten Son, He has declared the Father. He alone is the image of the invisible God. But today, we Christians, we have been regenerated. We have the divine life. We can also be the image of God. Amen. In the sense, we express Him. You know. Okay, at the end, I just want to mention a few stories. You know, one day in the home meeting, when the saints were gathering, there was a new one there. And suddenly during the meeting, the new one took out a camera, took picture. And we were wondering, you know, the new one is the first time. He doesn't know anybody. Why he, you know, some may think, you know, maybe this guy is from FBI or someplace. try to take picture of the, you know, the meeting. He's Chinese, so maybe in mainland China, you know, they do that. But eventually we asked him. He said he has never seen anyone like what he saw. Then we say, "What you mean?" He said, "I have not seen someone so living." So when we enjoy the Lord, let me tell you, we should have an expression. Amen. That expression is not your expression. It's not my expression. It should be the expression of the Lord. Amen. That's why we have the verses in 2 Corinthians 3, right, 16 to 18. You know, we all with unveiled face, beholding and reflecting as a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed from glory to glory. From His Spirit to the image of the Lord. So, let me tell you, in every meeting, you know, when we are here, we are opening to the Lord, we are opening to the Word. You know, after meeting, you are a little different, right? I think we all experience this. Sometimes we came to the meeting, we are quiet, you know, we are not much, you know, exercise. But in the meeting, something happened to us. What happened to us? We touch the Spirit. When we open to the Lord, the Lord's Spirit is moving with us, in us, and it touches us, it fills us, and it changes us. Praise the Lord. There was another, past week, I heard a brother, he's a professor, and he's in the 80s, and on campus, he's burdened. He preached gospel to students, and some of the professors also. And the professor, of course, you know, is very knowledgeable and not so easy to receive the Lord. But this brother, he is very exercised. So he got some of the professors. They were pray reading together. After prayer reading, this professor touched something. And then later on he asked, can I be baptized? So it's not the knowledge changed him, but the spirit. When you pray, pray is the way to exercise our spirit. Amen. Maybe, you know, even in the meetings, we need to have exercise spirit. Amen. We need to pray. Lord, release your word. Amen. Lord, I want to hear your speaking. Amen. When we pray, we exercise our spirit. That's why saints, every day we need to pray. Pray is not our religious duty. Pray is not kind of formality we do. Pray is for us to exercise our spirit. Amen. When we touch the Lord, you are changed, I'm changed. So that touched me very, very much. And there was another story, a couple in Columbia University, and they both saved within a year. And every week they go out to preach the gospel. Usually we say, you know, oh, we with brothers, we need to say, you know, a few years, then you go out. But this couple, they go out every week, and they share their joy in preaching the gospel. To the extent they go out regularly, even the unbeliever will say, what happened to you last Wednesday? We didn't see you. So there's a fact, you know, there's a fact. When we following the law, enjoying the law, going outside the camp, outside the religion, their mentality, we remain in our spirit, enjoying Christ, enjoying the Christ in glory. Amen. We are different. Amen. Even our you know, contact people will be different. So the way, you know, with all the negative things in Exodus, the way not to have a kind of mixture worship is not to be so conscious of what should not do this or that, but is to enter in within the veil. So every day, that's why we need to spend time to read the word. You know, I think all those children of Israel, they're making the molten image. They didn't read the word. So every day we need to read the word, every day we need to pray, and every day we need to contact the saints. You know, sometimes individually we're a little weak, but if we have two or three, you read the word together, pray together, right away, after praying, after reading the word, your spirit is uplifted. We are going outside the camp by entering within the veil. So praise the Lord for such a word. For us today to live in the reality of within the veil. And to live a life outside the camp. Not to have a kind of any kind of religious duty. So for us to meet this morning is not a religious duty. Amen. For us to meet this morning is for us at home we should have entered within the veil. But here corporately, We are coming here, we are entering within the veil. We are here offering the Lord the true worship. That is, one spirit with the Lord. So may the Lord be merciful to us, that we will daily come to His Word, read His Word, and join His Word by eating and drinking. Maybe we can read the verses in 2 Timothy 3:16. Oh, maybe read Exodus 21, chapter 20, verse 1 first. God spoke all these words saying. These are chapter 20. Chapter 20, the Ten Commandments was given. But God did not say, I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments first. God said, God spoke all these words. So, we come to the word, even we should not just come for some kind of instruction. We should come to the Bible, to the word, to the scripture as God's words. Okay, then let's read 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, if you pay attention, teaching is not first. Instruction is not first. Correction in righteousness is not first. But all scripture is God-breathed is first. So when we come, we need to be ready to breathe God in. Because God has breathed out. The words, the scripture, are God's breathing. And we can breathe it in. Okay, let's read also the following verses. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. The Ten Commandments, are they commandments or are they spirit and life? Of course, they are Ten Commandments, right? But they are spirit and life first. So we all need to enjoy life. We all should touch the spirit. Then the scripture will profit us later on. The instruction, teaching, correction, it will come automatically. So our, to escape the mixture of worship is not by our own effort, but rather it's just by being one with the Lord. Okay, let's read 6:57. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who is me, he also shall live because of me. So eating is not just you touch something, you know. We may read the word, you just touch something. Eating is to get something outside of you into you. And also you digest it. And it becomes a part of you. You assimilate it. So God's way has such a reality. If we receive it properly, there will be our food, our drink. And we will live because of Him. Not by our efforts. Well, I just stop here. This is what I enjoy, and you can also share what you enjoy in this portion. Amen. So, you want to...